The two Koreas have been divided politically and geographically for more than 60 years now. During that time, they've also grown apart in the way they use the Korean language. For thousands of North Korean refugees living in the South, that means getting used to a dialect that sounds foreign. From Seoul, Jason Strother reports.
Choi Soo-jung fled North Korea in 2001. Like many of the other 15,000 North Koreans who have defected to the South, Choi says at first she was blown away by all the cars and big-screen TVs she saw. She was perplexed by bank ATMs. Choi says she got used to those things pretty quickly, but she wasn't prepared to hit a language barrier while speaking with other Koreans.
I didn't realize how different the North and South Korean languages were until I started working for a recycling company. Back in North Korea, they only have one word to describe all kinds of paper, but here there are many. It really embarrassed me that I didn't know what my coworkers were talking about.
The North Korean language, like much of the nation itself, is stuck in a time warp. It's retained a lot of words and expressions that South Koreans no longer use, or the meanings have changed. For example, North Koreans still call a boxed lunch bento, which was used all over the Korean peninsula in the early 20th century. It's now called tosherak in the South. Or the saying, ilop sumnida. In North Korea, it's a common response when asked, "How are you today?" meaning, "Fine, nothing special." But in South Korea, depending on who you're talking to, the phrase is considered to be quite rude, meaning something like, "Buzz off." For refugees, language is one of the toughest parts of adjusting to life in South Korea. That's according to Ko Kyung-bin, director of Hanawon, a government-run facility that gives newly arrived defectors a crash course on living in the capitalist world. We try to teach them the new terminology through textbooks, Ko says. We also encourage them to watch South Korean movies to learn how we speak. He adds that Hanawon even hires defectors who've lived in South Korea for a while to help translate. Regional dialects exist throughout Korea, but the North-South language divide has little to do with geographical differences. Like many other aspects of North Korean life, language has been manipulated to praise the country's rulers. Kim So-kyung lectures at the Ewha Institute for Unification Studies and has written a book on how North Koreans use their language. She gives an example of one word whose meaning has changed since the Koreas were divided. It's sunmul, and it translates as a gift or present one gives to a friend.
North Korean way of speaking this sunmul. Sunmul is the deserved reward by Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. So only Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il are only two who can give sunmul to another person.
Adding to refugees' linguistic difficulties is the infusion of English words into South Korean. The mix is known here as Konglish. These are especially prevalent in the names of relatively modern technology. You can't really expect someone to know how to send a fax or make a Xerox when they've never heard these words or even seen the devices themselves. Defector Choi Soo-jung says it was tough learning all these new words.
I had no idea what camera meant. In North Korea, it's called the sajinji. Now that I'm learning English, life is a little easier here. But before, I couldn't follow what my professors or classmates were saying because they used so many English words.
The Pyongyang regime not only keeps English words out, but has also done away with Chinese characters, which are still learned in South Korea. North Koreans believe they speak a superior form of the language, something many still believe even after they defect. Again, Kim So-kyung.
North Korean defectors are arguing their way of using Korean language as pure and clean way of protecting Korean from outside dirty thing.
Those dirty things, of course, mean foreign words. For The World, I'm Jason Strother in Seoul, South Korea.